Jesus is asking that question to us today. What do you want from me? And after he answers that question, the thing in turn we give back to God is, God, you've been so good to me. What can I do for you?
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life Tabernacle Church podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. This podcast serves as our church's weekly sermon archive. Tune in each week to hear what God is speaking in our community. Be sure to follow and share with a friend. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Mark 10, starting verse 46. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. When they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the story of a blind man or a man who was blind. God, I pray as we begin the new year, as we start out 2026, Lord, I pray, Lord, you would give us vision and revival in our hearts for what blind eyes you want to open in us and deaf ears you would like us to open. Lord, we love and thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We all want something. I think we all want a few things in life. All of us are different. Some of us want to feel better in our bodies this year. I don't know about you, but I would love to lose a few pounds and figure out how to work out with four kids. That's something that I would like to do, right? If you're Chris West, you would like your favorite football team to finally win a Super Bowl, right? That would be a good, you know, thing happening in 2026, but you're going to have to wait, you know, until the end of the year to see if that pans out. Perhaps this year you want to have some more friends. Perhaps you want to have a little bit more money in your bank account. Perhaps you just want things to be peaceful in your life. I think we all want something. On this road trip we just took, as my family and I were traveling up to Michigan, we stopped at one of God's favorite creations, which is Culver's. Has anybody ever been to Culver's? No? Oh, well, we have to pray for you, okay? You need to go up north and have Culver's, all right? Culver's is this wonderful place to get a burger and fries, and it's really, really good. So we stopped at Culver's after being on the road for like 8 hours, and we sat down, and I asked Marcella, I said, "Marcella, what do you want for dinner?" Now, that's a dangerous question to ask a 2.5-year-old, right? And she said, "I want chicken tenders and mac and cheese." She didn't say it that clearly, but I got the idea. She wanted chicken and mac and cheese. So what did Daddy get her? Chicken and mac and cheese, and I got her a chocolate milk. I got that too, okay? So when the food comes to the table, she decides that she doesn't want it anymore, okay? And she doesn't eat any of it. But you know what she wanted? She wanted the ice cream that I had gotten with my meal. And she said, "Daddy, I want Ikeem, Daddy." I said, "You got to eat your chicken tenders and your mac and cheese. Then you can have ice cream." And guess what, my friends? She didn't eat her chicken tenders and mac and cheese, and she didn't get any ice cream. I know I'm a terrible father, but, you know, she eventually kind of chewed on the chicken nugget on the way on the rest of the road trip. And so that's kind of how the story went. And so sometimes we think we know what we want, but in reality, we actually don't know what we want, right? That reminds me of another story of God's goodness. When I lived in Texas, and this was already 8 years ago, which is just crazy to think about. When I first went to Texas, the Messenger College, in 2017, not long after I got in there, one of my friends had a birthday party. It was one of my friends who was turning 30. And they were having a birthday party, and I was invited to this birthday party. But this wasn't like a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party, okay? Even though Chuck E. Cheese is expensive. They were going to have this birthday party at one of the nicest steakhouses in Dallas, all right? One of the nicest steakhouses in the nation. It's a steakhouse chain called Ruth's Chris. Has anybody ever been to Ruth's Chris? No? Man. You've been? Okay, good. All right, we didn't strike out on both restaurants this morning. Now, Ruth's Chris is a delicious restaurant that is very, very expensive to the point where if you buy a certain steak, they ask you what type of knife you want to cut the steak. When I got my steak that day, they said, you want a German blade or a French blade? I'm like, where am I? I do not belong here. And at that point in my life, I was working at a Mexican restaurant called Chuy's, and I wasn't making very much money. I made enough money to pay my school bill. I made enough money to buy a McFlurry every night, and I made enough money to put enough gas in my truck, right? That's about all I had money for. But because of this opportunity I had to go to this wonderful steakhouse, I saved up the little extra money so that when I went to this meal, I could get what I want. Because I looked at the menu, Connie. I looked at the menu, and on the menu, there was this steak. There was this bone and filet mignon. And I'm like, I'm never going to go to a type of steakhouse like this again. Ain't no way. So I'm going to get what I want if I'm going to go, right? I'm going to get what I want, and I'm going to get all the sides I want. So I saved up a little bit of money, which honestly was not nearly enough. But I just saved up a little bit. So we go to the dinner. We sit down, and everybody starts having this meal, and it's wonderful. And everybody's ordering some pretty modest plates. Actually, a couple of my other friends that I was going to school with, they decided to order a chicken breast and broccoli, and they were going to share it, okay? Just chicken breast, broccoli. We're at this really wonderful steakhouse, and you're ordering a chicken breast and some dry broccoli, all right? They obviously didn't prepare like I did. So everybody's ordering these modest meals. And I had ordered probably the most expensive steak on the menu. I'm a little bougie, so sorry, okay? I ordered the most expensive steak on the menu, order the size I want. It all comes out, and it's wonderful. And I eat it all. And everybody's like, oh, that's a nice steak. I'm like, well, you know, I prepared for this event. I know what I wanted. And then when it came time to get the check, well, I didn't get one. Because someone at the table decided to buy it for all of us. Someone bought the meal. And what was funny is I was sitting there thinking, I am so sorry that I got the most expensive steak on the menu. I would have ordered chicken breast and broccoli. And my other friends who ordered chicken breast and broccoli were like, I'm so disappointed. I would have ordered the steak you got, right? They didn't know that someone else was fitting the bill. So here's the point of that story, right? I knew what I wanted. I didn't know how I was going to get it, but I knew what I wanted. I thought I had saved enough money, but God had went before me to provide for that need. And in actuality, our story that we're reading today is not that much different. There's a story of a man who wants something. There's a story of a man who needs something, desires something. He doesn't know exactly how he's going to get it. And perhaps he's been groping at trying to get this for years, grasping at it. But then someone comes along and has the ability to meet this need for the first time. If you look back at your story, let's look back in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10 today, we're looking at the story of blind Bartimaeus, which is probably not a very good thing to call him because he's not blind, right, anymore. Jesus cured him and healed him of his blindness. But nevertheless, the story's found in Mark, Matthew, and Luke, which are known as the three synoptic gospels. In Matthew's version of the story, there's actually two blind people. So in Mark's version of the story, we just know there's one. His name's blind Bartimaeus. But in Matthew's version of the story, there's blind Bartimaeus and his buddy, whoever that is, right? And they're both blind. And in our text in Mark, it's significant what happens here. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says this. Mark 10, 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So right before this story transpires, Mark 10:45 is like the key verse of the whole book of Mark. If you could describe the book of Mark in one verse, it would be Mark 10:45, which shows Jesus as the suffering servant of God. And right after Jesus says that the Son of Man came to not to be served, but to serve, Jesus gives us a story of what service in the kingdom of God looks like. So this is what happens again in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. So Jesus and his crew are making their way towards Jerusalem. Look at your neighbor and say, Jerusalem. Now, if you're tracking with the story of Mark and you're thinking in Mark chapter 10, what's happening in the story? Jesus is getting ready to go to Jerusalem to what? To die. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem to die on the cross for our sins. And on the way, kind of like how I was just on a road trip and I went through all these little cities like in Ohio that I could not pronounce, right? Okay. As he was on the way, he goes through a little city called Jericho. And while he's in Jericho, something amazing transpires. Look at Mark 10, 46 through 47. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So we got this guy. His name's Bartimaeus, or Bartimaeus, which means Bar of Timaeus, which means son. If you say the word bar, it means the word son. So Bartimaeus is the son of some guy named Timaeus. But Bartimaeus here, he has a problem. He's blind. He can't see. And I don't know what it's like to be blind, but I can't really imagine growing up your whole life not being able to see anything in God's wonderful, beautiful world. Poor Bartimaeus has been blind his whole life. And foreseeably, Bartimaeus had been begging by the roadside for many, many, many years. He had no real skills. He was blind. He couldn't really work. He couldn't do anything that would provide value to him. So he was left to be a beggar on the side of the road. So he would just beg people, and they would give him maybe a few coins, enough to get a piece of bread. And that's kind of how his life went. And he's sitting by the roadside begging when a man named Jesus is about to pass him by. I just love how before, obviously we know what happens in this story, but I love what happens. Have y'all ever just found yourself to be in the right time at the right place? You know what I'm talking about? Like if you are at home and you were gonna go on a road trip or go somewhere and you can't find your keys, and you're like, I can't find my keys. I always lose my keys. And you find them 5 minutes later. And then as you leave the house, you realize there was just a wreck 5 minutes earlier. You know what I'm talking about? I remember this one time when Emily and I were living in Texas. And we were living at the Commons. And the city we lived in was called Euless. And it was a little ghetto. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a little ghetto, all right? And during COVID, obviously, you know, it was a weird time. But one day, Emily's like, hey, Dallas, I need to get out of the house, get out of the apartment, and I want to go to Target and do a pickup order. I said, that's fine. Please be safe. So I remember Emily leaving. She closed the door, and probably 90 seconds later, I heard 3 gunshots outside of our apartment complex. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. How many was that? 3 or 4. You get the idea. I hear a bunch of gunshots, and I just think to myself, my wife just left. What's happening? So I sprint out of the apartment complex in my slippers, run out the gate, and I come around the corner, and Emily is standing beside our car looking out towards the road like this. And I'm like, get down. There is gunshots. What had happened was there was these 2 cars driving by, and they were fighting, apparently, and they decided to perform some type of drive-by right by our college campus. And Emily's just sitting there trying to spectate what's going on. I'm like, get your butt inside before you get shot, okay? Right, so we get her inside, and everybody's freaking out because, you know, like, is there really a gunshots going on next to us? And one of my other buddies ran outside, and the fire department was right next to us. He's like, what are you doing? You don't need to be Superman. Get inside. And anyways, it turned out to be okay. But here's the point of the story. Emily had went outside and she was getting ready to pull out the driveway when she just felt the need to call her sister-in-law. And she was talking to her sister-in-law in Milan for just a few minutes on the phone. And while she was sitting there talking to her sister-in-law, right before she pulled out, this drive-by transpired. I don't think it's by any mistake that my wife had this feeling, I should call my sister-in-law, right? Because if she would have just pulled out and took a left, she might have been right in the middle of that drive-by. Here's the point of both those stories. God, wherever you are in your life, if you're walking in God's will, Your paths are ordered by the Lord. It said the righteous steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. And so in this story, you got a guy named Bartimaeus who finds himself in the right place at the right time, right? And in ourselves, as we're entering 2026, my prayer is that we would find ourselves in the right place at the right time, right? There's no mistake that we all happen to be here in 2026, alive, right here, right now in the city of Vinton. God is doing something in our lives. God is not doing something just in our church, but in your personal lives. And I have a feeling it will be no coincidence that you're going to find yourself in the right place at the right time so that you can't just say, oh, it just so happened, so that you could testify when the miracle happens, God did it. Amen? God did it. So look, Bartimaeus has found himself in the right place at the right time. Bartimaeus has positioned himself for the blessing. The next thing we read in the story is Mark 10, 47 through 48. So while Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside begging, he hears this murmur that some guy named Jesus of Nazareth is going by. And this is what it says. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. The next thing we learn from Bartimaeus in this story is simply this. We must cry out to Jesus for mercy. Look at your neighbor and say, cry out to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus teaches us a few lessons here. Number one, he says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, okay? By the time we get to this place in Mark, Jesus has himself a good reputation. Jesus had been going all around this region doing what? Healing the sick, opening blind eyes, opening the ears of the deaf, teaching amazing sermons, upsetting the religious leaders. He was transforming the world around him as they knew it. And blind Bartimaeus had heard the stories. He had heard that there's this some dude from named Jesus from a little city of Nazareth, and he seems to be very special. He seems that he's more than just a man. This guy might be the Messiah, the Son of David. And Bartimaeus finds himself at the right place at the right time, and he hears that Jesus is coming by, and he wastes no breath. The Bible doesn't say that he looked over to someone else. Hey, who is that guy? Is that Jesus? He didn't really inquire the people around him. All he did is this. He began to shout and cry out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This blind man started just screaming, Jesus, Son of David, pay attention to me and have mercy on me, please. And everybody's like, buddy, be quiet. He doesn't have time for you, right? You're a beggar. That's all you do. You just beg and you open your mouth and you never give anything back to anybody. You're just a beggar. Just be quiet, Bartimaeus. You're getting on our nerves. And Bartimaeus is like, No, there is something special happening here. And that's why the Bible says that he just begins to cry out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. What I love about this is as Jesus is leaving Jericho, he's going to be heading to the city of Jerusalem, where he would go and die for all of the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. He's going to go lay down his life for everybody. But Jesus in this moment stops for one person. Jesus not only cares about the whole world, but he cares about you, Lisa, right? Jesus obviously has a plan for redemption for the entire earth and the entire cosmos, but he's attentive to your request, Dreama. And there's this one man, and he's shouting out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Perhaps Bartimaeus had heard what Isaiah said in Isaiah 35:5. Isaiah 35:5 says of the Messiah, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Bartimaeus is like, this is my chance to touch God and receive my healing. And he cries out, and he doesn't care what anybody else says around him. He cries out, he shouts out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And this is what I love, what happens next. Bartimaeus cries out for mercy. And then in Mark 10:49, look at this. Mark 10:49, it says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. Wow. What do you think made Jesus stop right there? Obviously, Jesus had been going around the region doing great things like this all the time. People have been crying out for Jesus, saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. Always crying out on the name of the Lord Jesus, right? But for some reason, as Jesus is getting ready to head out of the city, he stops. How many of y'all need Jesus to stop and do something in your life right now? Right? What I love about this story is that it's when Jesus was leaving the city. You know, if I, Sister Darlene, if I heard Jesus was coming to Vinton, I would make sure I would be the first one to have an appointment with him when he arrived in the city, right? I would say, hey, I know you get here at 9, let's meet at 9:05. I'll have coffee and drink for you, all right? We'll be good. We'll have breakfast. It'll be great. Bartimaeus didn't get that first meeting. This is not until the midnight hour, Dreamer. This is not until Jesus is leaving the city that there's no more hope, that the hope is going away. Bartimaeus cries out, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops and says, bring him to me. I wonder if in 2026, if we could pray some prayers, if we could worship in a way that would make Jesus stop and call us. What I mean is, I know Jesus is in this place, right? We're all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, praise God. But we have all experienced those moments in our Christian life when Jesus shows up in the room. Like the manifest glory of God comes when you are worshiping together and boom, the atmosphere changes because he walks into the room. It's because he stops. But why does he stop? I think verse 52 tells us why. We learn it later on in verse 52. We'll just go there. He says, go, your faith has healed you, right? There's something about Bartimaeus's faith that makes Jesus stop in his tracks, stops what he's doing to pay attention to him. Let's continue on in the story. He stops, and Jesus says, call him, verse 50 in Mark 10. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. You see what Bartimaeus done right here? Look at that note, he says. It says, throwing his cloak aside. Bartimaeus had been waiting for this day forever. He'd finally cried out to Jesus. Jesus stops in his tracks. He says, bring him to me. And the crowd now says, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. He wants you. And you know what Bartimaeus does? He strips off his outer layer, not wanting any hindrance, not wanting anything to get in the way between him and Jesus. Him pulling off his cloth is symbolic of pulling off the sin that so easily entangles us in our lives, and he runs to the throne room of Jesus. He strips off his cloth. He gets to Jesus, and he comes to the feet of Jesus. And standing before Jesus is Bartimaeus, a man who's full of faith, a man who is brokenhearted before God. And he's standing there before this man who is blind. And then what comes next is the main idea I want to leave you with today in this year. Mark 10:51. It says, Jesus is now speaking to Bartimaeus face to face. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Bartimaeus is full of faith. Bartimaeus is a man after God. He wants God, and he's come to the place where I only have hope in God himself. No one else has been able to help me. No one else has been able to heal my blind eyes. Bartimaeus gets desperate. God responds, and then when God responds, God himself looks at Bartimaeus and says, what do you want? Look at your neighbor and say, what do you want? And I'm not talking about like the old Notebook movie. I haven't seen The Notebook in a long time, but in that movie, the guy's like, what do you want? And I think he's asking her what he wants to eat or something like that, right? Jesus looks at this man and says, what do you want from me? Can you imagine if Jesus showed up right now and walked right in front of you and said, what do you want from me? Would you know what to say? Remember how I opened the sermon with, we all have wants and desires, right? I have wants and desires. But if Jesus himself came right here to this altar this morning, looked you in the face, David, and said, what do you want from me? Would you be ready to respond? Bartimaeus knew exactly what he needed. He said, Rabbi, I want to see. And he knew he could come to the source for that to happen. And what happens in the next verse is beautiful. Mark 10, 52. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Keaton, you can come on up when you're ready. Here's the main idea that I've just been thinking about this week. What do you want from the Jesus in 2026? What do you want from the Lord this year? All of us have different things going on in our lives. Some of us are sick in body. Some of our family members are sick. Some of us are in financial trouble. Some of us have aging parents. Some of us have needs and wants, right? And so my question is, do you have the faith to tell Jesus what you want this year? Do you have faith to believe that he will answer that prayer this year? I love this story of Bartimaeus. He cries out when everybody told him to stop crying out. He didn't give up when he should have given up. And he comes before Jesus himself, knowing he's the supplier and the source of his faith. Knowing that he could do all things. And Bartimaeus, with boldness, says, I want you to heal me. And Jesus says, let it be so. And it's done. And from that day on, he was singing something like, I was blind, but now I see. That's where that comes from. And in that last detail, it says, he was healed, he received his sight, and followed Jesus along the road. I don't think Bartimaeus ever stopped following Jesus after that moment. Bartimaeus was now asking Jesus the question, what do you want from me? Right? We come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, we need this. I want this from you. And I think Jesus is asking that question to us today. What do you want from me? And after he answers that question, the thing in turn we give back to God is, God, you've been so good to me. What can I do for you? But before we get there this year, what I can do for God, as we start 2026, what do you want from Jesus this year? What if God actually answered this prayer? What would it mean for you and your family and your life if Jesus came right before you and said, what do you want from me? Close your eyes with me this morning. I personally don't want 2026 to just be another year, right? I'm thankful for the year the Lord's given us. I don't want to stay the same this year. I don't want to be the same person I was at the end of the year that I am at the beginning of the year. I want to progress in my relationship with God, right? I want to become a better husband to my wife. I want to become a more patient father to my children. I want to become a more loving pastor to my church. I want to become more disciplined in my body. I want to move forward, but I can't do it alone. I know all of us have wants and needs. Lift up your faith this year. Lift up the eyes of your heart to the Lord this year and hear the Spirit saying, what do you want me to do for you this year, David? What do you want me to do for you this year, Debbie? What do you want me to do for you this year, Glenn? The Lord is standing before us today, and he's offering us the same question of Bartimaeus. What do you want from me? Perhaps the Lord will answer it immediately, as he did with Bartimaeus. Perhaps you will ask for it, and today or tomorrow it will be done. Or perhaps what you're asking for the Lord is, perhaps you're going to have to ask all month long as you fast and pray to seek his face and his will for the year. But regardless of when he answers the question, do you have an answer? What dreams in you do you want the Lord to resurrect this year? What visions do you have for your life that you want the Lord to touch this year? What do you want from God in 2026? I want us to take a few moments to just prayerfully consider what God's actually stirring in our hearts. And I want you to ask the Lord, or tell the Lord, what that thing is. It can just be one thing. It could be, hey, I want my daughter or my son to come back to Jesus. That would be a great thing. You could say, Lord, I want you to heal my family member. That would be a great thing. Lord, I want you to provide a new job for me. That would be a great thing. Lord, it could be any of those. Just take a few moments. Lift up your heart in faith to God. If you've been discouraged by certain prayers that haven't been answered yet, perhaps this is the year to begin praying more passionately than ever before. But be careful. Revival might break out around you and in you. Pursue the Lord in prayer here for one moment.